Good morning, Life Change family.
Good morning.
Good morning, Zoom family. I can't hear you. Tom and Renee are still at home, but Tom will be out of quarantine tomorrow, and he's doing well. Good. Yeah, he's doing very well. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. This morning, I want to read 1 John 5. Verse 19, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and he is eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we just thank you and praise you. You are the King of the universe. There is nothing too difficult for you. There is nothing impossible with you. Father, we just thank you and praise you that you sent your only Son to take our place, and we rejoice in this time that we celebrate his birth. Amen. Coming to help us. Yes.
God is good.
It's a wonderful addition.
Little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head.
Got a capo there.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Not then said the angel, let nothing you affright. This day is born a Savior, a virgin pure and bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort. God with us.
God with us, revealed in us, His name is called
your power and glory forevermore we will proclaim. You are the one true living God. There is no other. And we worship you, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. We worship you. Amen.
Amen. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel. Sorry, a bit emotional. To Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this be? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angels reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the first star appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Can everyone hear me okay? All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you, Laura, for that wonderful reading from the Christmas story and scripture. I want to thank Glenn for helping out with the music team and with what a wonderful job he did. Why don't we just go to the Lord in prayer as I begin this morning? Father, I come before you today and I just want to thank you for this marvelous gift that you gave to us. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy, your kindness. Thank you for your love that you've poured out upon us. And God, we get to celebrate this time of year, thinking of what you've done for us and what is in store for us in the future. And so, Father, we come before you today and ask that you would just fill this place with your presence, fill us with your spirit, help us to hear what you have to tell us, and God, let us go away from here with a new frame of mind, perhaps, Lord, I pray you'd minister to each one. Lord, this is a crazy Christmas season with people being shut in and not being able to go places, and with me being in quarantine, and so, Lord, it's just crazy. But Lord, you are orchestrating it all. And so, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And Lord, just ask that you meet with us today. And we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. Next week, I hope to be with you in person. My wife and I are still on quarantine. We hope, according to the health professionals, we should be finished with our quarantine on Tuesday, and so we'll be out and about then. We have no symptoms, and so I'm thinking we're good to go, but we'll just wait for the go-ahead from those who are no more about this stuff than I do. Good to see all of you. Want to welcome you to Life Change. We especially welcome our visitors with us. Good to see you, Hayden and Dennis. I can't see anyone else here, but I'm glad that you're here with us. I wanted to look again at a passage of scripture that Laura just got finished reading, and it's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And this is, again, the depiction of the story where the angels come and visit the shepherds. And it says, in those same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Some of the greatest words ever spoken to mankind was spoken by this angel to these shepherds on a Christmas night so very long ago. There has been born for you one of the two greatest days in world history, this day and, of course, Easter. This child was born for you. Now, we don't know who the angel was, possibly Gabriel. And he was making this declaration of magnificent proportions and of worldwide import. He said, something has happened this night that affects you. A child has been born for you. Not only for Joseph and Mary, not only for the shepherds, and not only for that generation or even for the Jewish people, but this child was born for you. So what I would like for you to do is turn to your neighbor, stick your finger in their face, and say, this child is born for you. This child is born for you. And you, and you, and you. After the angelic host left, I can imagine the shepherds picking themselves up off the grass and exclaiming, he was born for me. He was born for me. I didn't know it mattered, or I didn't know that I mattered that much to God. But he was born for me. See, shepherds were the least of the least in their day. They were at the bottom of the food chain, if you will. There was no occupation that was below that of a shepherd. No one thought very highly of them except God. You see, God sees past our occupation. Oftentimes we judge people by the things they do or the things they don't do. But not God. He looks below or beyond our occupation. He doesn't see the color of our skin. He sees past our darkest sin when we accept his gift. This child was born for you. Will you receive it? Will you receive him? And just stop saying, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. Stop saying, I don't deserve it. Just accept it. He was born for you. They call him a Savior. For today, in the city of David, there's been for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. How many of you have ever experienced someone saving you from a probable death? And if that individual hadn't intervened, you would not be alive today. Raise your hand if that has occurred to you. many, many, many of you. Many of us have stories where that has occurred, and somehow God intervened and saved us. And some of you may have more than one occasion. When I was 9 months old, someone resuscitated me after I had been underwater for several minutes. He was responsible for saving my life. Doctors helped. Of course, God intervened. But if it hadn't been for this log truck driver who stopped to help find me and pull me out of the water, I would not be standing up here today. In a real sense, he was my savior. I don't know his name. Don't know where he lives, or even if he's still alive today. I don't know much about him at all, but I do know that he saved my life from a watery grave, and I'm forever grateful. This short announcement from the angels to the shepherds spoke to their greatest need and to ours. This message, though delivered by angels, was from the throne room of God Almighty. God knew that men were separated from him. And God knew that if there was no intervention from him, that all men, women, and children would be separated from him for all eternity. And because of his great love for us and his desire to spend eternity with us as a family, then he knew he must send a savior into the world. Someone to pay sin's penalty. Someone to give us power over sin and Satan. God knew that we could not make it on our own. God knew that there was no way that we could do enough good works to get rid of the sin in our past, of our past. And he knew that if he did not do something, that we would drown in hell. Not a watery grave, but a fiery grave. So he sent a savior. And you know who he is. It's this child that we're celebrating here in this season, this Christmas season. Scripture says that God sent a savior into the world who is Christ the Lord. Christ is a Greek word, Christos, and it's not Jesus' name. Oftentimes we use we say Jesus Christ as if that was his last name. That's not his last name. That's a title. Just like some of you say Pastor Brad. Pastor is not my name. Pastor is a title. And the title of Christos means the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. If we were to say it properly, it would be Jesus the Christ, not Jesus Christ. These shepherds were Jews. They were out in the field. They had very little education, but they knew about the prophecies concerning Jesus coming. They knew about the prophecies concerning the Messiah, that one day he would come to earth to save and reconcile men to God himself. Daniel was one of the last ones to speak of the Messiah, and that was 500 years before Jesus's birth. Malachi talked about a messenger that was going to come, just Jesus. And that was 400 years before Jesus's birth. The shepherds had been taught in Sabbath school that this Messiah, the Christ, that he would come and he would be a deliverer. He would be the Son of God. He would be anointed to do marvelous works. They weren't able to comprehend, of course, the extent of his power or the authority he would manifest during his short life. There were the prophecies of his coming, and this is what they did know, that the long-awaited Messiah had entered the scene and things would be different. A savior, God's anointed one, was here, and things were about to change. He was love. He was hope. He was God's gift wrapped in a few pieces of cloth. He was Christ. Christ the Lord. The Lord, a Greek word is kurios, and what it means, it's a declaration of his position. Savior is what he came to do. The Christ is his title. Lord is his position. He is one who has ultimate and supreme authority. I was reading in Luke chapter 8 last night, and as I was reading in Luke chapter 8, there was several incidences that showed Jesus's power and authority. One of the times he was on a lake, he told his disciples, let's go to the other side of this lake. Well, they got in the boat, and it was a wild ride, because whenever they were in this boat, a storm came up and began to blow them. The rain was whipping, the waves were coming over the sides of the boat. The disciples were thinking they were going to drown, and Jesus was asleep in the bottom of the boat. And they said to Jesus, they woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? And he woke up and he said, man, you guys have so little faith. He looked out over the lake. He saw the storm, saw the waves coming over the side of the boat. And he said, peace, be still. And when he said that, everything grew calm. The winds quit blowing. The rains quit descending, and the lake became as slick as glass. And of course, the disciples were looking at one another and saying, man, what is this? Who is this that he has power and authority even over nature, over the winds, over the rain, over the waves? Who is this guy? And so when they made it across the lake, they happened to dock their boat at a cemetery. And out of the tombs came this guy who was, called him the Gadarean demoniac. Matter of fact, he had thousands of demons that he was hosting, carrying with him. And when he met Jesus, Jesus commanded those demons to leave, go into a herd of swine, and all of these pigs ran over an embankment and drowned in the lake. Everybody was in wonderment, because not only did Jesus have power over the storm, over nature, but he also had power over the demons. The people in the village became very frightened, and so they said to Jesus, Jesus, you go away, we don't want you here, you're scaring us. Well, they had just gotten there. And now they had to get back in the boat and go back over the lake. And so as they landed on the other side, people saw them coming, and they knew who Jesus was, and a crowd began to gather. And as they gathered around him, there was a fellow named Jairus. And he said to Jesus, 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 come help my daughter. She's dying. She's dying. She's dying. And so Jesus started to go with Jairus, and then as he was going, there was a lady who touched the hem of his garment who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And when she touched his garment, immediately she was made well. He didn't know who had touched his garment, but he knew someone had, because he said, power has gone out from me. The disciples were like, man, there are thousands or hundreds of people gathering around you. How do you know everybody's touching you? What is this? He said, power has gone out from me. And somebody has touched me in faith, believing. And sure enough, this lady stands up and said, Jesus, it was me. I've had an issue of blood for 12 years. Nobody could heal me, but you've healed me. While he was speaking to this girl, Jairus' servant came to Jairus and told him, said, don't bother with Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. So you see, Jesus had power over nature. Jesus had power over the demons. Jesus had power over sickness. But did he have power over death? So Jesus told Jairus, let's go to your house. And so they went, and Jesus pronounced faith, in faith, that his daughter was alive. And so we got home, the daughter was awake, alive, and praise the Lord. Jesus had authority, and he had power even over death and hell. Jesus is the supreme authority. He is Lord. He is Lord, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In John 13:13, Jesus spoke to the people surrounding him and said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." See, the Savior and this Lord is for everyone. The angel said to the shepherds there on the field, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people." Say all people. Say it again. One more time. All people. Not just for some people, but for all people. This includes you. This includes your neighbor. This includes the person you don't like. There are a lot of people who don't know or don't understand this whole Christmas thing, this whole Jesus thing. A child was born for you. A child was born for them, for all of them. And then we can be like the shepherds who went everywhere telling folks about Jesus, about the things that he has done for us. All they did was went and shared with them the things that they had seen and the remarkable things that Jesus had done for them. That's all a testimony is. It's telling others what Jesus has done for you. The shepherds left the manger. They left Jesus. They left Mary and Joseph and began communicating to those they came in contact with the wonderful things that they had discovered. And we have the privilege of doing the same thing. There are people who you have contact with that don't know about Jesus. Now, it's not reasonable for me to talk about the birth of Jesus without talking about his death, because Jesus was born to die. That was the reason he came. He was born to die. He was born for you, but also he died for you to take the punishment you deserve for the sin that you've committed. This year, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you're going to receive gifts from the ones you love. I've already received some gifts. Somebody left some caramel corn outside my door this morning. Someone put some stuff in my car. Someone gave me a monetary gift. And I'm so grateful for all of those who have done. I received some candy goods in the mail the other day. It's been great. I'm almost sick because I've eaten so much sugar. But the greatest gift that one can ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ. God is offering this gift, and it will be the sweetest thing you will ever receive. It will be the greatest thing you will ever receive. It's God himself coming down in human form to save you from your sins, to save me from my sins. And he offers it as a gift to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe in him, whoever will put their faith in him, whoever will trust in him, They will not perish, but will have eternal life. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. It would be really impolite of me if somebody offered me a gift and I didn't receive it. The gift that God offers is for everyone. The gift that God offers is to be your Savior, but you have to want it. And you have to receive it. Even though Jesus came for you, even though Jesus died for you, it will do you no good unless you receive him personally. And the way you do that is by asking forgiveness for your sins. And the second thing is to place your trust in him. Many people do that through prayer. If you're here today, maybe in the sanctuary, or you're looking and following us on Zoom, I want to give you an opportunity today to receive the greatest gift that has ever been offered. That gift is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King, the Lord, our Savior. Would you this morning pray with me? If you've never received that gift, all you have to do is say, God, I receive Jesus. I receive this gift into my heart. I want to lead you in a prayer, asking God to forgive you of the sins and also receiving Christ as your Savior. So would you bow your head? And if you're here today without Christ, would you pray with me? And maybe you're here with Christ. I want you to pray out loud. So I'm going to ask the congregation to pray along with you as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I've disobeyed you in many ways. I am so very sorry. Please forgive me. I want this gift. I want this gift of Jesus Christ. I want this gift of eternal life. I want this gift of spending eternity in heaven with you. I want this gift. So I come before you and I place my trust in Jesus Christ. I place my trust in his work on the cross, dying for me, to take away my sin. I'm not trusting in my good works. I'm not trusting in my parents' faith in you. I'm trusting you as my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you made that decision this morning, would you, and maybe for the first time, or maybe it became real to you today, would you write that on your communication card, drop it in the communication box so that I can look at it, see it, pray for you. There may be other things that you have prayer needs about write those down and put them in the communication box as well. Again, I want to thank Laura for the wonderful reading of the Christmas story. I want to thank Glenn for his participation with the worship team. You did an awesome job, Glenn. Thank you so very much. The worship team did an awesome job. Thank you. And by the way, that's just part one. Part two comes next week. Tom and Renee and them have been working diligently, preparing some things for the worship, and it didn't come about because they are on, they're in quarantine too. And they will be back next Sunday, Lord willing. I think they're supposed to get free from their quarantine like the 26th or something. So they will be back next Sunday. Have another great worship set for you. And the Lord bless you. And I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. God bless you. Have a great day.